Good afternoon. The regional news presented by Elizabeth Mbombone Abo. In our headlines, today, August 19, is being observed as the World Humanitarian Day. The theme of this year's edition is Act for Humanity. In the far north region, the humanitarian situation has attracted many UN agencies, which complement government's efforts in various domains. In education, pupils of government primary school Yanebot in the subdivision of Ngoila, East Region of Cameroon, now have a conducive learning environment thanks to the benevolence of a non-governmental organization. And in the Southwest Region, 87 students from Obang Village in Manu Division have been awarded certificates of recognition following their brilliant performance at the just ended 2024 session of the General Certificate of Education. Those are our major stories. Now, the regional news in greater detail. Stay tuned. The humanitarian situation of the far north region as a result of natural hazards like floods, droughts, coupled with the Boko Haram insurgency, have attracted UN agencies alongside non-governmental organizations which complement government's efforts in various domains as the world celebrates the Humanitarian Day on the theme Act for Humanity. Our far north regional correspondent, Sylvester Temkeng, zooms on humanitarian activities in that part of the country. His report.
Floods which hit some parts of the far north region also opened the floodgates of diverse humanitarian assistance, at the head of which has been the Red Cross and Red Crescent movements. Meanwhile, the peak of Boko Haram atrocities in Mayo Sava, Mayo Tanaga, and Logun and Shari divisions, also marked by the displacement of populations, has further attracted interventions by humanitarian organizations. The UN Refugee Agency, UNICEF, UNFPA, UNESCO, OIM, the World Food Programme, and others have been providing relief assistance to the vulnerable communities facing abject poverty and security challenges.
What we try to do is just alleviate their most immediate needs and to provide them in some cases with some shelter, just to make some things easier. It's not the answer to all of their needs. It's not solutions for having lost their homes and everything, but it's just something that will help them in small steps. And that's what humanitarians can do. We can't solve all the problems, but
we provide maternal health services, family planning services, and we try to protect women and girls from gender-based violence, offering case management services for survivors of gender-based violence in support with the Ministry of Family and Women Empowerment.
Meanwhile, thanks to the child-centered non-governmental organization Plan International Cameroon, hope has been rekindled in the education sector, especially that of the girl child, in various domains of intervention.
In far north, so far, we are implementing projects which emphasize on education, especially girl education, and we are targeting all these barriers that make girls to stay at home instead to come to school.
The humanitarian efforts of international NGOs in the far north region are being backed by local NGOs, among them Alde Pearl, ALVF, and Public Concern.
What we have been doing is child protection, SGVB, and psychologic support to the victims and survivors, also promoting peace and social cohesion inside the communities and take care of children.
These efforts, with the governor of the far north region, Miji Awabakari, a supervisory authority, have played a great role in helping those in distress. Marwa, Sylvester Temkeng, CRTV.
We continue our ride to the northwest region, where farmers are decrying the devastating effects of erratic rainfall, which has caused severe water shortages, widespread crops failure, and a sharp hike in food prices for staples like maize, pepper, and okra. As they struggle to cope, many are appealing for sustainable solutions to adapt to the worsening climate crisis in the northwest region. As you tell us, CV Banta.
The northwest region is facing significant challenges due to erratic weather patterns, especially sporadic rainfall, which is severely affecting farmers. They report that the unpredictable rains have disrupted planting and harvesting, leading to substantial crop losses.
We have never seen this type of climate condition that we have now. Without water, crops cannot grow.
First, now they are affecting the crops since they are looking for the plants that are wet. So they find
they are comfortable places, but inside the crops, and by doing that, the crops are being destroyed.
The inconsistent rainfall has also led to water shortages, leaving locals to rely on unsafe water sources, raising concerns about outbreaks of waterborne diseases.
We face a lot of difficulties to get water. For you traveling for about 100 meters, 200 meters, 300 meters, not to get water, it is a problem.
We used to depend on rainwater, but now there's really scarcity. We suffer, we go to wells to look for water, and it appears water is even itchy.
Adding to the hardship, poor harvests have driven up food prices. Staple fruit crops such as pepper and okra are becoming increasingly expensive, worsening the economic strain on the community.
The scarcity of food crops and the increase too in prices, we are not able to see some certain type of food.
The effects of climate change are becoming apparent. Environmental actors warn that without coordinated efforts to mitigate these environmental impacts, food scarcity and disease outbreaks will continue to threaten the livelihoods of many in the region. Sylvie Banta for the Regional News in Bamenda.
We continue in agriculture, but this time around in the West region, precisely in Masangam, one of the subdivisions of the Noon to discover an artisanal palm oil production chain. This activity is carried out by a young man in his early 20s by name Muhammad Mokhtar, and our reporter Isaac Ngongkum of CRTV West spent a day in his company and put together the following report.
In Masangam, a subdivision of the Noon, palm oil production has become a major commercial activity. Mohamed Mokhtar, in his early 20s, owns a local palm oil production unit which he inherited from the mother. Every day, he arrives at the production unit as early as possible and waits for villagers to bring their palm nuts for processing. He says the raw material is brought by owners of palm nuts who desire to transform the nuts to oil. The first thing he does is to pour the nuts into a large tin for cooking, and once the nuts are well cooked, they are then removed and poured into the oil palm grinding machine, which separates the chaffs from the oil still mixed with water. The water is then removed and transferred into another tin for proper boiling so as to separate the oil from the water. After 2 hours, the red liquid is derived and filled in containers for consumption. Pandam Issa is one of the customers who regularly visits the production unit. He says the byproducts, including the palm kernels and chaffs, are not wasted, while the chaffs are used to light fire and scare away birds from farms. The palm kernels are further used to produce kernel oil, commonly known as munyanga, attributed with some therapeutic values. Mohamed Mokhtar says he makes between 8 to 15,000 CFA francs per day from just processing the palm nuts into palm oil. The women who bring the raw material and go back with red oil sell in neighboring markets in Fumban and Fumbot, while others go as far as the center and littoral regions. Administrative authorities regret the fact that palm oil production in Masangam is still done locally and call on the powers that be to set up giant transformation plants in the subdivision for mass production of palm oil, a feat that will fall squarely into government import substitution policy. Isaac Ngongkum for the Regional News in Masangam.
And from the grass field regions, we move over to the land of the rotten chimpanzee, where there are plans to construct a community hall in a boulevard that will benefit the indigenous people. The information was made known over the weekend in Mamazem by the Association of Women, Girls and Wives of Ebomena and Otem during their General Assembly meeting there in the South region. Student journalist on internship, Electra Mendomo, tells us more.
With the goal of empowering women and developing the city of Ebolova, the Association of Girls, Women and Wives of Mamezam Otemtri presented their project, which is to build a community hall in Ebolova. Sylvie Abato and Eyenga Eya Julien are president and founder of Otem Tree, respectively. It is a community hall where we will also take care of the underprivileged. In fact, everyone will find something to suit his need. This is a project that has been on our minds for almost 2 years now. We are now in the process of making it a reality. We thought we needed to create revenue-generating activities. In the presence of the chief of the Ebomamtsu group, the villagers and other guests, there was a remarkable distribution of food items to the mothers of the said village. We brought rice, fish, oil and many other things. When we give food, we want our parents to bless us. In a festive atmosphere, the population of Magmezam unanimously agreed to support the women of Otem Tree, and a date was set for the next meeting that clearly defined the strategies to take to achieve their earmarked goals. Magmezam, CRTV South, Electra Mundumu.
And from the south to the east region, where pupils of the government primary school of Yanebot in the subdivision of Ngwela now have a conducive learning environment and basic didactic materials to kickstart the new school year. The 6 classrooms constructed and equipped by the Hope for East Cameroon were officially handed over to the school authorities by the divisional officer for Ngwela, Giambamba. As you tell us, Tala LT.
Before the construction of these 6 classrooms equipped with benches by the Hope for East Cameroon NGO, children of school-going age in the village of Yanebot, Ngwela subdivision had to trek to the neighboring Republic of Congo for education. Wilfried Nkwala, mayor of Ngwela. We are happy to have received these 6 classrooms in our locality from the Hope for East Cameroon. We promise to make good use of it and also to sensitize parents to send their kids to this school come September. With assistance from Cameroon's First Lady, Mrs. Chantal Biya, and some members of the elite, the Hope for East Cameroon is on a mission to encourage education in this part of the country by providing adequate schooling infrastructures. Dr. Evelyn Patience Memphil is president of the Hope for East Cameroon.
You will see those kids, they are going to neighborhood countries to go to study because they don't have infrastructure, they don't have school. So what we have done today is to give them the opportunity to go to school as other students of Cameroon to study, and they can have a brighter future than what they have now.
In the presence of the divisional officer for Ngwela, Guy Amba, and members of the elite of the locality, some pupils of the village were handed school bags and didactic kits for a smooth start of the new academic year. Tala LT reporting for the CRTV in Yanebot.
And in the southwest region, also known as the land of legendary hospitality, students from Obang Village in Manu Division have been hailed for the excellent academic performance registered during this year's session of official examinations. This was during a ceremony to hand certificates of recognition to the 87 successful candidates of the 2024 session of the General Certificate Examination, the GCE, the Academic Excellence Award, was organized by the Obang Solidarity Initiative in Boya. Details with Lucia Agbo.
The Obang Solidarity Initiative Award is not only to recognize the brilliant performance of Obang students in the country during the recent GCE exams, but also to encourage and promote education in the Obang community. Oru Julius Agbo is the president of the Obang Initiative Excellence Award.
To the Obang community, it's a very important activity because it makes the community know that the elites have them at heart, and the elites can do what other elites elsewhere do for their children. For the laureates, it will spur them to work even harder to perform and come out even in the honors role for the GCE examinations.
The laureates express gratitude to the Obang Solidarity Initiative for their kind gesture, as it will facilitate the preparations for September 9th.
Obelengu Fit Ayamba. I had 11 pupils and 31 points. I received 400,000.
I want to thank the Urban Plan for giving us this assistance, and I'll use the money to buy some school things.
I'm called Orun Beletera Baje, succeeded in 5 papers. I've received 100,000 francs. I intend to use it for my university education.
The event featured traditional dances, which created an opportunity for Urban children to learn their tradition and culture. Lucia Agbo, CRTV News, Boya.
We now move to next door center region, where it has been observed that heavy duty trucks continue to circulate within the political capital in spite of firm instructions from administrative authorities prohibiting the circulation during working hours. Many Yaoundé city dwellers hold that the heavy duty trucks cause intense traffic congestion and related accidents in Yaoundé and environs. Lekiate Gertrude Asongazi, in the report that follows, says more stringent measures should be taken so as to take off these heavy-duty trucks on the highway.
It's commonplace to see heavy-duty trucks carrying sand, fuel, and gravel circulating alongside township taxis and private vehicles in Yaoundé. Many believe their presence is the reason for the traffic congestion and accidents recorded in recent time.
When you look at Yaoundé, most of these heavy-duty trucks do not only produce police noise, they cause a lot of accidents. And you look at so many instances where you see the traffic flow not that accurate.
At times, you even see a truck driver, or necessarily maybe he may just horn behind you. Imagine someone in a smaller car driving and there's a very big truck behind coming at a very top speed. It causes panic to the driver. Because of that panic, some of them may either go out off the road and they cause accident.
The situation is a call for concern, particularly as the concerned authorities seem to have given a deaf ear.
Really ironical, because I believe there was a time that a decree was signed specifying the time that trucks should be circulating. But nowadays, we find them circulating any time, and that is what is increasing road accident, because the roads are not even big. So they reduced the size that little cars were supposed to be circulating, or which in the night is their own time to circulating. They feel that they are above us, in their up. So the other vehicles, they are looking them down. So that's the mentality of even the drivers, because they feel that those camion drivers, they are rough. In case of any accident, their own shock will be lesser, and they even have stronger irons, defensive iron that block. So that's why most of them are reckless.
Many hope that sanctions be imposed on drivers who continue to circulate in Yaoundé, for it does not present a good image of the nation's political capital.
Likiate Gertrude Asongazi, Regional News Center. And that's how we saw it this day on the regional news, where we had contributions from 7 out of 10 regional stations. However, here again, our main points before we part company. Today, August 19, is being observed as the World Humanitarian Day. The theme of this year's edition is Act for Humanity. And in the far north region, the humanitarian situation has attracted many UN agencies and non-governmental organizations, which complement government's efforts in various domains. And on to education, pupils of government primary school Yanebot in the subdivision of Nguela East region of Cameroon now have a conducive learning environment thanks to the benevolence of a non-governmental organization. And in the southwest region, 87 students from Mobang village in Manyu division have been awarded certificates of recognition following their brilliant performance at the 2024 session of the GCE. The regional news was produced by Patrick Oscar of Afan and Victory Wonje Yunji, student journalist on internship. For presentation, I'm Elizabeth Mbombone Agbo. The regional news continue with you.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Have a lovely start of the week.